be here to worship together with you, to honor God, to praise Him, to join with millions and billions probably of other people, well, millions at least, of other people throughout the world who are worshiping our same Savior. And we're glad for a warm place to come. I was glad for water this morning. You never know when she's going to freeze, and glad for that. Glad for the Word of God that was read already this morning. And our text this morning that I'm going to be preaching out of is found in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I'm thinking particularly of the ministry that Jesus had while He walked the face of this earth. Because I think that ministry goes on today. And hopefully as we look at what Jesus' ministry was that He did, we can see the purpose for the ministry of the local church as well. And not only that, more personal, we can see perhaps the ministry that we can be involved in bringing this great message of hope in a hopeless world. And if any time the world is in need of a message of hope, it's today. Is that not right? So many are troubled. So many are fearful. So many are anxious. So many are depressed. So many are seeking, but perhaps seeking in all the wrong places. And so we're going to look at this morning just some of the ministry of Jesus. Luke, when he began the book of Acts, he reminded them and said, "The former treaties have I made." That former treaties was the book of Luke, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And so really, this is the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, but really the Acts of the Holy Spirit that he continued to, and continues today, to minister in the world. But what was Jesus' life like? We are told that we are to pattern ourselves after him. The book of 1 John says that if we love him, if we say we're following him, we ought to live as he lived. We ought to walk as he walked. And we certainly cannot do that apart from his work in our life. But what did it look like? And so I want to just give you a little glimpse into the life of Jesus from Luke chapter 4, which is quoting from Isaiah chapter 61. And it says in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about him. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Now we had read this morning a passage about Jesus and how he went from city to city in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, or the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now don't think of it as a book like we have, bound together. Think of it as a scroll. And he was handed the book or the scroll of Isaiah, and he opened, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. So Jesus knew his way around the scroll of Isaiah. And this was his custom when he was growing up in Nazareth, to come into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and to hear the Word of God read, to hear the Word of God preached, to sing and to praise and to meet in fellowship with other believers. And it says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and restoring of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister or the ruler, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture," or "is this scripture fulfilled in your ears?" And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" We'll stop there. Here's Jesus. It says at the beginning of chapter 4 that Jesus was taken out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And he was driven, one of the Gospels said, by the Spirit. Before that, in chapter 3, we see that the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And then the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, tempted of Satan. And after the temptations, after he was victorious over the temptations, because Jesus is without sin, he was victorious of that. The devil, it says, departed from him for a season, and angels came and ministered unto him. And then Jesus began his public ministry. Now, Luke doesn't include it, but he went throughout the land of Capernaum for about a year and did many wonderful works there. And that's what Jesus mentions in verse 23 of this passage. He says, "Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." But he skips over that. But for a year, he's gone out ministering. And I love what it says in verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. So as the Spirit of God comes down on him in the form of a dove at his baptism, he's now full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And after those times of testing, he returns in the power of the Spirit and begins his ministry throughout all Galilee in the power of God's Spirit. First thing I notice, if you're going to have a Spirit-filled life or ministry, is that you need the Spirit of God in your life. You need the power of the Spirit of the living God in your life. Jesus had that, of course, in full measure. And we are a needy people. And if we're going to live for Christ, if we're going to accomplish his mission, if we're going to be his witnesses, because he's called us to be his witnesses, to follow him and to witness for him by the things we say and, if need be, by our words. We witness in our life and we witness through our words to those that are needy. We've got a great message to bring to those who are needy, but we need, first of all, the Spirit's presence in our life. We need the Spirit's power in our life. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. Now, the Spirit wants to fill each one of us, right? We are commanded in the book of Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunken with wine. Don't be controlled with strong drink, but be filled with the Spirit. And the tense of that in the Greek is be continually being filled by the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God will fill an individual who has died to self. Remember what Jesus said? He says, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That's the pattern that Jesus sets for us. And Linda and I are going to tag team a Sunday school class in our church starting next week. And we're doing it on the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. But I notice before you ever get to living out the fruit of the Spirit in your life, something has to happen. There's a fight. There's a war that goes on within each one of us, the flesh versus the Spirit, the Spirit versus the flesh. And how do you overcome the flesh? The cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. Deny yourself. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And so God fills those that are dead to self, that are alive unto Him. So here's Jesus in the fullness of the Spirit coming into the synagogue. Now it's interesting, the synagogue. I learned something new this week. I was reading some of what John MacArthur had to say about this passage. And he talks about the synagogues. And the synagogue was not the temple. The temple was found in Jerusalem. Synagogues were found all over Jerusalem. You only needed 10 people, 10 men, to have a synagogue in a city. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got more than 10 people here. We could have a synagogue. Oh, this is kind of a synagogue, right? And so they were all over. They said that at the time of Jesus, there was more than 280 synagogues in Jerusalem alone. It was a big city. And they kind of sprang up after the Babylonian captivity, where the temple was destroyed, where Jerusalem was destroyed. And so they sprang up. They were a place of learning. In fact, synagogue means house of instruction. It was not meant to replace the temple. There was no place for sacrifice. There was no place for the Ark of the Covenant. There was no place for the incense or the lights or the laver. There was no court of the Gentiles. It was a house of instruction. In fact, much of our services today are patterned after the synagogues. They had the readings of Scripture. And you notice that it was his custom, and they came in, they read the Scripture, and what? They stood up to read the Scripture. You stand up to read the Scripture. You know why? Because that's what they did back then. And it was a pattern. They had psalms that they would read. They had psalms that they would sing. There was confession. There was prayer. And then there was preaching of the Word. After Jesus sat down, and by the way, in the Middle Eastern, if you have something important to say, you sit down. We kind of got it backwards here. You guys are sitting down and I'm standing up. But in the Middle Eastern culture, if you have something important to say, you sit down. I remember when we had a fellow from Pakistan who was a born-again believer that shared in our church. They went to our church. They live in St. Cloud now. But it was just after 9/11, and he was explaining some things. And there was a lot of people at our church. And he said, now I have something important to say, more important than what I've just been talking about. And he sat down on a chair because that was their custom. And he shared the gospel with people. And so they would come into the synagogue, and here's Jesus. And so it was a natural place to share and to preach. Jesus' primary ministry was preaching and teaching. And so he'd go around to synagogue. You'd find him every Sabbath day in the synagogue. And you'd find the apostles, the disciples. They would what? Every Sabbath day, they would meet in the synagogue. And if you were a rabbi, a guest speaker, you were given permission then to speak. What a great opportunity to go around and preach. It was built in where Jesus could go around from city to city and preach. And so here he is, he's going to tell them what his ministry is all about. Now let's go back to Isaiah, because this is a direct quotation from Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus kind of stops in the middle of a verse. But in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, he says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where Jesus ends. But it goes on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The overarching goal of God is the glory of God. The overarching glory or ministry of Jesus was the glory of God. Our purpose in life, the Westminster Confession says, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. As John Piper says, to glorify God by enjoying him forever. So, what ministry did Jesus have? Because I think he has the same ministry today that he accomplishes through his people. And if we could see people as Jesus saw them, as we'll learn today, we could see people as Jesus saw them, we perhaps could be more involved than we think in this ministry that he's involved in. So there's four, five, depending on how you see them, different ministries that Jesus had. But just briefly. First of all, his ministry was anointed. He was anointed by the Spirit. He was, to anoint means to literally to rub with oil. They would anoint those that were set apart for ministry. Aaron and his sons were anointed by Moses. The tabernacle was anointed because it was set apart for a particular ministry. David was anointed as king by Samuel, set apart. Here is Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 about this anointing. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So the Spirit of God is upon him. If you want to have a ministry, you need the Spirit of God, to be anointed by the Spirit of God. First of all, then, what did Jesus do? He preached the gospel to the poor. Remember a couple chapters before this, the angels are out in the field to meeting the shepherds, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here is Jesus then preaching the gospel, the word gospel, good news. He's preaching, he's speaking forth the good news. Jesus has a message of good news that people need to hear today. And he preached the gospel. And it says he preached it to the poor. Now, I don't think it was particularly saying the poor, that is a class of people, poor versus rich or middle class or blue collar or white collar workers. He wasn't primarily speaking about that. He was speaking about those that were poor in spirit. Remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The one that was going to listen to Jesus was one that was poor. The word poor there means to cringe. And it's a picture of someone that's cringing like this with the hand out, embarrassed that they are begging for something. They're destitute. They're lacking. And Jesus came to preach to those that were beggars, to those that were destitute, to those that were poor spiritually. And they had nothing, and they knew they had nothing. Remember the publican and the Pharisee? The publican comes into the house of God. He holds his head down, not even willing to look up. And he beats his breast saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's one who knows he's poor and he's coming to God for forgiveness. Jesus brought a message of good news, of hope to those that needed it. Anyone that's outside of Jesus Christ is poor. Most of them don't realize they're poor. Most of them don't realize they're destitute. And so where do you go to get filled? Where do you go to get spiritual bread? Over and over, Jesus said, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. He says, drink at my fountain. The woman at the well says, if only you knew who you were talking to. Come and drink at my fountain. You will never thirst again. You will never hunger again. I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven. Feed on me. And so all we are poor beggars that have found out where we can get spiritual bread, and then we just point people to the same spot. We just point people to the same spot. And so Jesus primarily preached. He preached repentance. Over and over we see, repent and believe the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he comes to preach to those that are spiritually destitute. He comes to heal those that are brokenhearted. Oh, doesn't this describe people in our day and age? What do we get brokenhearted over? We get brokenhearted over relationships that maybe didn't work out the way we wanted them to. We get brokenhearted by perhaps parents that didn't treat us the way they should have treated us. We get brokenhearted when maybe our career falls apart. We get brokenhearted when we lose our health, perhaps. We get brokenhearted when we see a country that is turning their backs on the truth, on the light, on Christ, on God Almighty, and turning their back. That just breaks our heart to see that. Because we know that road goes to no good, right? But oh, we can get brokenhearted in a lot of things. A lot of people today are brokenhearted. A lot of people today are discouraged. They say depression, suicide is on the rise. You know, the masks are a depressing thing. I wear them because I want a job, but they're a depressing thing. The whole pandemic is a depressing, when will it end? I read yesterday in an article, oh, it could be around for 7 years. I hope not. But we're to rejoice in everything. But it's a depressing time that we're living in. And people are brokenhearted. And so we come to them with tenderness. Over and over in Jesus' ministry, we see he sees the multitude as sheep without a shepherd wandering around. He comes to them with compassion. He's moved with compassion to heal their broken hearts. You see, our lives fall apart. And when Adam and Eve rebelled in the garden, the whole creation fell apart. And Jesus is in the ministry of restoring that which is lost. Paradise lost, paradise restored. Jesus is in the ministry of putting lives back together. Where do people go to get their lives back together? Well, they go to counselors. That's okay. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago who was just discouraged and depressed. And he says, I'm really thinking I'm going to take some time off, some family medical leave, because I'm so depressed. And so they were going to go to a counselor. That's okay. We need people who have studied and have good words to help us along. But ultimately, the best counselor in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God, who comes alongside us as our comforter. And I don't know where you go with your broken heart, but I know where you should go, and I know where I need to go, and that is to the rock that is higher than I. Pour out your heart before him, people. Go to the rock that is higher than yourself. He lives above the situation. Jesus Christ is in our boat. It doesn't matter what storm we have in our life. And so Jesus comes to heal. To make whole. That word heal means to make whole. To heal what? Our broken hearts. Maybe we have a broken heart because of a family member that's not following Christ. Maybe we have a broken heart because of people in the church that don't want to come anymore. And it just breaks our heart. And it breaks God's heart. And so Jesus came to those kind of people. He also came to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. You see, He's in the ministry of restoring. And those that He comes to are captives. What do you mean captives? We're captives by sin. We're captives by Satan. We're captives by our own self. And Jesus comes to deliver us from that. In, I think it was Mark chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, where Jesus is accused of casting out devils by the prince of Beelzebub. And he says this, because when Jesus came, he was invading Satan's kingdom, right? And so you immediately see a conflict in the spiritual world. And so he casts out demons by his own name. He delivers people that are oppressed by Satan. He delivers those that are oppressed by sickness. And God solidifies the message of Christ by the miracles of Christ to prove that He is who He said He was. But they were accusing Him of casting out Satan by Satan. And He says this, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." He says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. The strong man there is Satan. But when a strong man, then he shall come upon him, is referring to Christ, and overcomes him, he taketh from him all his armor wherewith he trusted, and divides his spoil. He that's not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. The picture here is of a strong kingdom, a strong palace, a stronghold, impenetrable. And Jesus comes along, binds that strong man, in order to deliver the captives. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of the gospel. Preaching deliverance to captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. You see, there's a time when outside of Christ, we were blind. Jesus many times said that these people were blind. Willfully blind. They were blinded by Satan. Lest they should believe the gospel and come to Christ. In fact, that's what Corinthians says when Paul was talking about the gospel. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, those that are blind. There was a time when I was blind. Once I was blind, but what? Now I see. What happened? God gave you sight. God gave you sight so that you could see your sin. God gave you sight so that you could see who Christ was. God gave you sight so that you could understand why Jesus died on the cross. God gave you sight so that you could understand the message of resurrection. God gave you sight so that you could understand the gospel. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That was God's gift to you and me. He opens our eyes. And so Paul says, if our gospel's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so not only are people captives in Satan's kingdom, but they're blind to the gospel. And Jesus comes in, opens their eyes. Someone shares the power of the message of the gospel to them. They see it for the first time. They understand. They repent of their sins. They believe on Christ. And the chains fall off. And they're delivered from Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son. Don't ever say you don't have a testimony if this has happened in your life. Or you might say, I wasn't delivered from much. I was never an alcoholic. I was never a drug addict. I never killed anybody. I never did that many bad things. You don't know what Christ has delivered you from. You were a captive in Satan's kingdom. And so what did it take to deliver the captives? The picture in the New Testament is that of a ransom. It's that of a slave market, where they would come into the market and have an auction for people. And you would pay a redeeming price to buy out this person from slavery, to put them into your own home as a servant. God came to the slave market and saw us, and He redeemed us. What did He redeem? What was the price? What was the bride price? The blood of His Son that cleanses us from all sin. The life of His Son on the cross of Calvary was the bride price. So He delivers us as captives. He gives us sight. And then not only that, He sets us now at liberty. We are free now from the power of sin, free from the penalty of sin, free now to live unto God, to live out the life we were meant. And Jesus says, today, this is happening in your midst. Today. He says, I'm come to preach the acceptable year. This is happening now, Jesus says. And He sits down and He says, I'm fulfilling this. And this is what He still wants to fulfill. Through the local church, through missionaries, through people going out, through you and I rubbing shoulders with people that don't know Christ. And so may God give us this fivefold ministry in our life, in our church, in our community. The gospel message has not lost any of its power. Jesus has not lost any of His strength to deliver lost people from sin. And so we pray that God would be doing that. The darker the night is, the more the light shines. We have a message of hope to offer to people. May God offer this message of hope through you and through me. Because all we can do is, as poor beggars that have found out where the bread is, we can show people where to find bread and where to find eternal life. Our Father, we bless You and praise You. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for redeeming us. And I pray that each one here has come to that point in their life where they've believed on Christ for salvation, in Christ alone. Lord, would You use us? You use the weak, You use the young, You use the poor, You use those that are not wise to share the gospel with others. Use us this week, Lord, and we'll give You praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Bruce. As he was speaking and he was talking about all the anxiety and depression in the world, I had a little episode on Friday, and I'm thankful for the prayers of those here. And I'm just going to explain a little bit. Just take a minute. I woke up Friday morning much earlier than normal, and I felt off, kind of a jittery feeling of some sort. And I'm not normally an anxious person, but I think the anxiety got the best of me at that point. And so later on, I told Gail that I think I should go get checked out. So unfortunately, it made Gail miss Bible study, but I went in, and I have a pretty good relationship with, I call him Dr. Stevens, and I went through my symptoms, and he asked me what I thought it was, and I said, I think I'm nuts. and I told him, I'm not crazy, my parents had me checked, so. But anyway, I had some tests, and like he said, it isn't bad to, when you have those kind of feelings, to seek some sort of help. And everything checked out fine, and I was just having one of those things. My heart beats a little slow. I think that's, part of it. But anyway, just thankful. I want to explain that because I'm sure there are people who had probably heard about it, and I'm fine. I mean, I'm as good as I can be, I guess. So thank you.